Welcome to Living Water Radio. Do you know how you ought to pray? I guarantee that you don't. Do you know how to breathe? Yes and no. Today we're going to learn how. My name is Pastor David Birkadahl. My wife, Reverend Sally Welch, is co-producing this podcast. Sally is an ordained minister focusing on ecumenical and interfaith ministry. I served Lutheran Christian congregations in Compton, California, and in San Dimas, California, for over 40 years. Today, I'm serving part-time in Monterey Park, California, maintaining our yard as my gym, and I'm active as a volunteer in the leadership of the more than 100 Evangelical Lutheran Church in America congregations in our area. Between the two of us, we have over 80 years of ordained ministry experience. Check out our first Living Water Radio podcast, number 0, Welcome and Introduction, for more information about us and this podcast. Jesus tells us about prayer and how it is connected to breathing in Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. He was teaching his disciples on the way to Jerusalem to die. Jesus had been praying when they made what seems to us a strange request in verse 1. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Okay, we learned from this that his disciples, who had been with him for almost 3 years, seeing him pray, worshiping in synagogues and in the temple, didn't know how to pray themselves, or at least they believed that Jesus could teach them something about how to pray. We also know that John the Baptist had his own disciples, separate from Jesus' disciples. We know that he taught them how to pray, and we know that Jesus' disciples wanted the same curriculum. And Jesus answers them in what seems to be an odd way. He doesn't give them a class on how to pray. He gives them a format. He might as well have said, "Just do it." He says, "When you pray," in verse 2. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.'" He doesn't offer a manual or a seminar. He offers us a model. I used to run for fitness and competed in 5K and 10K road races from time to time. I ran a couple of marathons in the 1970s, though I think that I only ran the second one because I had forgotten how bad I felt after the first one. One of the first magazines specializing in running was Runner's World, and I subscribed. Dr. George Sheehan, one of the first sports doctors and himself a runner, wrote a column answering runners' questions. One of them had to do with how to breathe. In the mid-1970s, there was some controversy over whether it was better for a runner to breathe through their mouth or to breathe through their nose. Someone sent the question to Dr. Sheehan, and his answer was something like, "Breathe through your nose, breathe through your mouth. Suck it in through your ears if you can. Just get it in there." Jesus offers a similar answer to the question of how to pray. His answer begins, "When you pray." He continues with what we know as the Lord's Prayer, going on with verse 3. "Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial." Can we only pray for bread? On what basis can we ask God to forgive our sins, big and little, and the separation from God that they produce? Does God lead us to the time of trial or into temptation? I'm glad you asked, and I'm not going to answer these questions myself. I'm going to recommend that you buy a copy of Martin Luther's Small Catechism, a pamphlet-sized book in which he provides answers to the basic questions of the Christian faith, kind of what every Christian needs to know book. You can buy a copy online or download one for free from the Google Play Store or from the Apple App Store. Concordia Publishing has one online now, and I've heard that Augsburg Fortress is planning to bring theirs back. The Christian life is not just about knowing the answers, though. It's about living them. We are sinners and deserve to experience the just consequences of our sin. But God is merciful. We see how, beginning with verse 5. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So is prayer wearing God down to get what we want, like a child begs to go to the beach? Please, 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 until parents relent because they are so annoying. Jesus encourages us to pray with confidence in God's power and goodness, starting with verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So is prayer a magic formula? Is it like in Harry Potter where you just have to wave a wand and say something in Latin and it happens? Some people say so. At least that's the way they act. They think that God is like their personal cosmic bellboy, their servant, and they are grossly disappointed when God doesn't come through. They say, God didn't answer my prayer. The thing is, though, that no is an answer too. Wait until the time is right is an answer. Yes is an answer, and for some it is the only answer. Entitlement can be the attitude of some Christians too. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, once said, God has not always answered my prayers. If he had, I would have married the wrong man several times. How does God answer our prayers? Jesus answers in verse 11. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Maybe a filet-o-fish sandwich or some fish and chips would be more appetizing, but you get the idea. He continues in verse 12, or if the child asks for an egg, we'll give a scorpion? No parent would do that. What does that tell us about prayer? He answers in verse 13, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I was hoping for something more practical. Is that what people pray for? Is that what you pray for, the Holy Spirit? The thing is that we are all God's saints, but we are also sinners, separated from God by our sin. We don't know how to pray as we ought. As Paul writes to the church at Rome in Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We don't know how to pray, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And how does the Spirit pray? According to the will of God. God knows what we need before we ask. We aren't telling God something that God doesn't already know when we pray. We only ask for God's will to be done. Praying is talking with God. With God. I once heard of the South Korean pastor of what was then the largest church in the world, Reverend Dr. Paul Youngi Cho, saying that he routinely got up before dawn and prayed for several hours a day. He required his assistant pastors to pray for 3 hours a day. An interviewer commented that he wouldn't know what to say for 3 hours. Pastor Cho said that he wouldn't either. At some point, he said he needs to stop and listen. People pray based on how they believe God to be. Some believe God to be a stern judge, a punisher, displeased, angry, and strict. Jesus portrays God as a father, a good father, a father who knows how to give the best gift, the Holy Spirit, the key to everything good, to his children. You may have seen the bumper sticker or the bracelet or the slogan that says, prayer changes things. I don't believe that. I don't believe that prayer changes things. I believe that God changes things. God changes us. In fact, we are so changed. It is like we are born again. We are made new. We are a new creation. It makes us long not for what we want, but for God's will to be done. Prayer is life in a relationship with God. It is speaking and listening for the will of God in the Holy Spirit. Have you ever talked with someone and then come to silence when everything that needs to be said has been said and you are content just to be with them? Likewise, prayer doesn't even require words, heard or spoken. Sometimes it's just being with God. In both Hebrew and Greek, the languages of the Old and New Testament respectively, one word, noema in Greek and ruach in Hebrew, have the same three meanings, wind, breath, and spirit. We breathe to live. The Holy Spirit is the new life of God at work within us, not something we have earned, but something we receive as a gift of God's grace. It is all we need to live as the body of Christ and all that is necessary to be the people of God, the church. The world scoffs at thoughts and prayers in answer to life's catastrophes. We do it ourselves when we say things like, well, all we can do now is pray. For us, prayer is life. It is listening as well as speaking. It leads us to doing God's will, which is God's justice. It is as necessary for the life of the church as is breathing. It is the breath of the Holy Spirit. Think about all the things that the disciples had seen Jesus accomplish over the 3 years that they were with him in his public ministry. What is the one thing that they asked him to teach them how to do? Pray. Do you know how you ought to pray? We have his answer. Today, let's remember to pray the Lord's Prayer, the one that Jesus taught us. If you don't know what that is, contact us at therevsdavidandsally@gmail.com or send us a tweet to @DavidBurkadahl and we'll send it to you. Send your prayer requests to either of the same addresses and we'll include them next time. Send your comments, questions, and concerns there as well and we'll respond to every one. As always, we encourage you to stay hydrated, to open your heart to receive the living water from the source, God's self, the living presence of the one true living God, the God who gave himself on the cross so that all who believe and are baptized might be restored to the living relationship with God for which we were created. Remember your church. Identify one if you don't already have one. Pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask a friend about it or a family member. Google it. Contact the pastor. When you have a church, go to or tune into the worship services they have available and support your church with your time, your treasure, and your talent. Pray for and support your pastor and church leaders as they seek to do God's will for your congregation. If you are having thoughts of suicide or are struggling with mental health issues, call somebody. Contact a friend or a relative. Google a local or national hotline. Reach out. There are people around you who will walk with you through this dark time into the light. You are not alone. Wear a mask when you're outside your home. Practice social distancing. Wash or sanitize your hands regularly. Avoid crowds if you can, and be outside if you have to be in a crowd. But most importantly, get your vaccines and boosters. It's the one thing you can do to literally save lives and get us back on track. Be kind to everyone you come into contact with. Everyone you meet today struggles in some way. Be a helper and encourager. Thank you for listening to Living Water Radio. We are here for Christians and for the people of the Los Angeles metropolitan area who are looking for a sense of Christian community, a source of hope, and a way to thrive together as we move into the new normal. We hope you'll tune in next time and invite your friends to do the same. Meanwhile, Sally and I encourage you to open your hearts to receive living water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and stay hydrated.